As you all remember, St. Paul was not one of the original 12 apostles. He comes in after the death and resurrection of Christ. Instead, St. Paul is a Jewish scholar, a rabbi himself. He knew the Old Testament inside and out. He knew the commentaries written by the Jewish sages of his time. He even persecuted the early church because they were believing in Christ as the Messiah, until that fateful day when St. Paul, on his way to Damascus, was met with a blinding light, and that light was Christ calling him to conversion. After St. Paul's conversion, he saw the Lord's kindness. He was granted salvation and was given, as Jesus would put it, the pearl of great price, a treasure that he would sell everything for and cling to that treasure. He wanted Christ, and he wanted others to know Christ. As St. Paul says, I speak the truth in Christ. I do not lie. My conscience joins with the Holy Spirit in bearing me witness that I have a great sorrow and constant anguish in my heart. What was that anguish? He wanted his own people, the Jewish people whom he loved so much, to be able to receive what he himself received. He wanted them to have what he had, to know the kindness and salvation that comes from the Lord. As he says, I would even wish that I were accursed and cut off from Christ. I would sacrifice myself for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. After all, the Jews did have a great deal that God had given them. He says, they are Israelites. There is the adoption, which they were. Chosen out of every other nation, God said to the Israelite people, you are my very own. You'll be my people. I will be your God. I will tell you everything about myself that you need to know, to live, and to proclaim me to all the nations. I adopt you as my own. That was their glory. He gave them a covenant, and in that covenant he gave a law, the Ten Commandments and the first five books of the Old Testament, by which they were to live and to worship, serving the one true God. And as he would fulfill the promises he gave them, as they worshiped him, he would bless them. He gave them great leaders, beginning with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of course with Moses and the other patriarchs and prophets that would follow. And eventually from them, from the Jewish people, would come the Messiah, the Christ. And all that is of the Old Testament. But St. Paul says, look at what we have now in Christ, something even far greater. Not only are we just adopted out of the nations, but we are adopted by God to become brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ in baptism and de facto children of God. So God looks at us at baptism and says, you are my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter. I am well pleased in you. So that all nations could come through Christ to the glory of God the Father, know, love, and serve the one true God. And that's our glory, the glory that we have through faith and grace in Christ. He's made a covenant with us, a covenant in his own blood on the cross, by which he says, you are mine. Eat my body, drink my blood, that I may remain in you, and you remain in me. The two have become one in Christ. We live in him, and he lives in us. He gave us that law of love, to love God fully with our whole being and our neighbors ourselves, to worship him as he himself taught us. Do this, he said, in memory of me. His promise is eternal life. Those who believe in him will not die, would not perish, but would live forever. In the place of the old patriarchs, he has given us the apostles. The apostles and the bishops who succeed from them to be our leaders, leading us to the heart of Christ, that Christ can live in and through us, the members of his body, the church. Christ has done this, who is over all. God be blessed forever, St. Paul says. Amen. So we, as Christians, should have the very same zeal that St. Paul has to understand what you and I have received from God and want to give to the world that which you and I have received, that faith, that grace, that kindness, that love, that salvation that only Christ can give. And so many great saints have gone before us doing exactly that in whatever way God has called them to do. Now, not this past week, but the week before, a freshman United States representative from New York, the Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who, beside being a Democrat, is a member of the Democratic Socialist of America, basically a communist, absolute left-wing liberal, baptized a Catholic, does not practice the faith, Catholic in name only. When it comes to truth, she's kind of dim-witted, just like many who espouse the same ideas that she has, or... Anyway, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez recently made these comments about a great saint. the great Saint Damien de Voister. Her comments left the practicing Catholic world in wonder. I'll tell you why. It's a little bit about Saint Damien, first of all. So this great man, great priest, great missionary, great saint, was born in Belgium and left his homeland at the age of 19 to study for the priesthood in France. He wanted to be a missionary along with his brother, and he volunteered to take the place of his brother, who had become ill, as a missionary to the Hawaiian Islands. Saint Damien was ordained in Honolulu in 1864, and at his ordination he would work in and around Hawaii in various places until 1873. That year, Damien de Voister volunteered to serve on the island of Molokai. It was an island where persons who had contracted the dreaded disease of leprosy were sent to die. They were exiled out there. He realized that in volunteering to serve these lepers, he may have to give his life in its entirety, which he did, taking care of these exiles' physical, medical, spiritual, and moral needs, which were plenty. With his own hands, he helped them to build decent houses, a church, a school, and orphanages, and an orphanage. Growing up on a farm, he helped them to plant and to raise their own food. He even built coffins for the dead. In time, he became the lepers' most effective advocate to obtain government support. The morale among the people, obviously, improved greatly. Toward the end of his life, St. Damien obtained the assistance of the Franciscan Sisters of Syracuse, New York. St. Damien would eventually contract and die of leprosy himself in 1888 at the age of 49, my age, and I've not even done a quarter of what he's done. But 3 weeks prior to his death, he was still working. He continued to work as long as he could, even while suffering with his own people. He was proclaimed a saint of the Catholic Church in October 2019 by Pope Benedict XVI. But 50 years prior to that, when Hawaii was admitted as a state into the U.S. in 1959, the people of Hawaii, not the Catholic Church, the people of Hawaii selected Father Damien as one of its two representatives to stand in Statuary Hall at the U.S. Capitol. So it's a statue of him that's there at the U.S. Capitol. It was in front of his statue, however, that Miss Ocasio-Cortez pointed out that his statue represents, in her words, colonialism, patriarchy, and white supremacist culture. That's what she saw in St. Damien. Not the heroic saint, but her own opinion. So here you have somebody with a very moronic mind who has never done anything useful for anyone, decrying a man who actually gave up his life in its entirety to the service of his suffering brothers and sisters. He wasn't just going around blathering useless words and uttering stupid lines, but he was working with his very body to make life better for others, knowing full well that it could kill him. And it did. So when we're faced with that kind of reality, that we're called to do something that might cost us our very life, what would be the thing that would fuel us to do the thing that we know God is calling us to do? What fueled St. Damien? Obviously, it was his faith. It was his faith in Jesus Christ. And what did his faith give him? His faith gave him courage. And what did his courage give to the people of Molokai? Because of his faith, which brought him courage, his courage gave those people hope. He gave them hope. He gave them peace. He gave them dignity. And he even gave them joy. Joy in the midst of great suffering. That's what saints do. But I can't forget that underlying all of this is obviously love. Saint Damien loved his God. Saint Damien loved his Savior Jesus Christ. Saint Damien loved the people that God gave him. Love gave birth to the faith that led him to do what he did fearlessly, because his reward was not to be found here. In this world, we're going to find labor and lots of it, but not reward. He knew the words of Jesus, the Savior. As Jesus says, do not fear those who, or don't fear that which can kill the body. So don't fear what can kill the body. and not the soul. Fear instead, Jesus says, the one or the thing, the who or the what that can take your soul and drag it into hell. That you fear. A Christian faces all things with faith and with courage, something that unbelievers will never understand and cannot understand. God has given us that grace. He has given us the faith and the courage to always do the right thing, to endure the harder things, and to do all of this in humility with a great peace of soul, all the while with quiet dignity. I think we all know that we do what we do because this is God's will. He asks us to do it, and we are called to do it. God wants us to love. God wants us to serve. God wants us to pray. God wants us to build up. He wants us to seek out the more excellent way, the more noble way, and to follow what is truly good, what is truly of God. Truth, it's been said, is the holiness of the mind. When the mind is fixed on Christ, then all things work out for the good. And we do this without fear. Without fear. The winds of change will blow. The sea of public opinion is going to churn and may seek to drown us. There may be things in life like earthquakes and the crushing of rocks. There might be fires of all kind, literal or figurative. Those things might blaze. But in the midst of all that, Jesus appears at our side saying, "Courage, courage, it is I. I am here." Remember St. Peter. As long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, he was on top of the water. When he began to focus on the water, he began to sink. And Christ says, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt? Have courage. Have courage. I have overcome the world." Brothers and sisters, we're being told by supposed leaders to live in fear. We're told to stay at home and lock ourselves up, not to love the people, not to love at all. They have divided us against one another, causing us to fear one another. We're told to be ashamed of our Christian faith and our Christian heritage, and to apologize to sinners for making them feel bad because we call sin what it is. We're told to fear a virus, but we're not told to fear God's punishment or eternal damnation. Remember that grace favors the brave, the stout-hearted. Therefore, take courage. Christ is here. Do not ever be afraid to live the Christian life fully. Do not be afraid to bring Christ to others, as St. Paul so ardently burned to do. And do it come what may. The Lord does not forget the life of his poor ones. He does not forget those who seek him. Live in him, live for him, for Christ himself is a reward in himself, the reward that he wishes to give.